Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning or evening, friend. Here's your friendly announcer. I have serious news to pass on to everybody. What I'm about to say could mean the world's disaster, could change your joy and laughter to
everyone. Welcome to the Hajj to Hajj podcast, the Messenger Edition. Hello to our podcast family. Hello to everyone else. This is Nurse Carmen, and I'm here to introduce to some and present to others Messenger Rondaya.
Good evening to all.
Hello.
Once again, it is an honor. Good evening, and once again, it's an honor to be with you all tonight, discussing our divine nature and what it is that we need to do so that we can truly get in touch with the divinity that resides in us. It's our weekly message that we want to get out to everyone, letting people know that they've got God wrong. And I don't say it from a boast position, but I say it from a concerned position that we are walking around looking for something that is right in front of us, that is right with us. And we're not seeing it truly as it is, because we've been conditioned to believe so many other things. We trust and believe in a God that we don't truly know. And we don't know it because we've been taught the wrong path to get to God. We've been taught the wrong path on how to have a relationship with God. We've been taught that we need to have a relationship, but from the stories, from the different religions that have been established, they are more or less teaching us how to get in tune with man so that man can tell us about God, when it is we ourselves that need to come to know just who God is, and not only who God is, but who you are. And the most important thing is, once you come to know who you are, then you can truly get in tune with God. Because we, at this point, have come to the conclusion that God is separate from us, that God is angry at us, that God is upset at us because we're not doing what it is that he wants us to do, that he has commanded us to do. And since we're not doing his commandments, he has separated himself from us. And we must get on our knees and pray and ask for forgiveness so that he does not send us to this fiery pit for eternity. These are the things in which we've been taught about God. Out of their mouths in one breath, they love to say just how good and merciful and kindness and forgiving he is. But then they come right back and tell us that if you don't do like he says, then he is going to put your soul into damnation for eternity. Now, when we really think about this, or maybe it's me. Maybe it's me. I won't put it on everyone. But does that make sense for someone to be loving, kind, thoughtful, all-wise, all-knowing, and all-forgiving, but then there comes a point where he won't forgive you anymore?
No, that doesn't make any sense.
Not at all.
It seems possible.
So, with that not making sense, wouldn't it behoove each and every one of us that are here on this podcast and those that are walking around thinking that they know because of what someone else told them? Don't you feel better when you know it for yourself? Don't you? When you know something for yourself, nobody can't tell you anything different. Because you know. They can say what they want, but because you know, then you can make your decisions accordingly because you know. And this is why it's important for us to know and not to go by just the words that I am saying here or that any preacher, rabbi, or anyone is saying. You have to know this for yourself. And the only way that you can truly get to know it is to try it. You've got to try God and see. I can tell you just how good he is till my head falls off, but it doesn't mean anything to you until you can actually experience God.
But Brother Messenger, when you say try God, what do you mean try God? How do we try God?
Try God by, what I mean by that is finding the way, in which we've talked about many times, of going within and having that conversation with him. And what I mean by trying him is have that conversation with him and then see if he will answer you.
Mm-hmm.
And then once he answers you, then you will begin to understand it better. But a lot of times we pray, and truth be told, we don't expect an answer because we think that God is some jealous person somewhere in the corner mad at us for something that somebody else told us was wrong. And so when I say try God, I want us to have that conversation with God. I want us to be able to, and I don't want you to blindly just per se ask God something and you're not doing it in the proper way per se. And what I mean by that, there is no special way that you have to go to God, but you have to go to him with the desire to know him, not a desire to prove something wrong. You know what I mean? Because when I say try God, people automatically say, okay, I'm going to say a prayer, and if in the morning I ain't got my $1 million, then what you saying don't add up. So I don't want to give that illusion. Even though It can happen.
It's possible.
Is there anything too hard for God?
That's right. Amen.
But you've got to know this. And when you begin to know these things about God, then you can walk in that boldness. And as I've used as an example on numerous occasions, when you've got a pocket full of money, you got a different walk about you. You got a different attitude about yourself.
Yep, sure do.
You got a pocket full of money, you go in the store, some of us ain't even really looking at prices because... Do you understand the point that I'm making? Because you know that whatever it is, I'm going to be able to cover it.
That's right. That's right.
So when you get to know who you are and who God is, you'll have that same disposition about yourself because you know that who got you and who you are.
That's right.
So when people come at you with this little petty stuff, trying to disturb your peace because they lack it themselves, you don't allow it to do that. Right now, because we're in that infancy stage of getting to know who we are, people can kind of knock us off our boat a little bit, make it waddle a little bit. And so the more we come to know just who God is and what he is, and what he's doing in your life, you won't allow it. When you get to know and truly know, not just say it, but know that all things are working for the good, then little things don't bother you anymore. When you do something and you might have did it a way that wasn't supposed to, you didn't get the outcome that you were expecting, you don't let it just totally throw you off because you know that all you have to do is stop and redo it. Instead of waddling in something that didn't go your way and then all of a sudden blaming everybody, and then don't forget about the devil. We got to blame him. Through it all, we got to make sure we give him the blame. And what we really need to understand is when we were at study talking about the devil, all we're talking about is ourselves. All we're talking about is a decision that we made that is not producing the outcome that we expect. And we've labeled that as the devil. And so we've got to get away from those that mindset and get into the mindset and the understanding that we are divine creatures, that we are a part of the body of God. We have to understand that every living thing is part of God. We have to understand that in the beginning, there was absolutely nothing. And with there being nothing but God, so when he made creation, what did he use?
Talk to him, brother. Talk to
Amen.
Him.
He used himself. This is why, and when I say every living creature, a plant, that's part of God. Anything that has life is part of God. God is life. And so we have to understand that even with the plant, they have their seasons and they have their time to do just what it is that they're supposed to do. And they do it. We may not want to accept it, but it is applicable to us as well. We have a time and place to do. And you do it. But we've been listening to and we've allowed people to tell us that what we're doing is not of God. And we have to understand it can be nothing else but that. Because anything that is not of God is not at all. And I know we look at it like, nah, you can't tell me that some of the things that people do of God do is of God. Well, if God allowed it, and make no mistake about it, if something was going on that, as they would say, was annoying and pissed God off, trust me, it would not be. As a matter of fact, truth be told, it cannot be. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. The fullness means everything. And that includes us. And so this is why we've got to have a different perspective. We've got to be different so that people can understand. But you can't be different just because I'm here telling us we need to be different. We need to be different because we know that we are different. Not better, but different. And different because we know and whom we are. Right now, we go to church every Sunday. We listen to these stories. We hear these sermons, the scriptures and stuff. But we don't know. We don't know. We're still, as they would say, looking to the hills from which cometh our help. But we must understand that our help comes from within us. How many times have we been on a project and we started out doing this project and everything was going wrong? And then we stopped and just took a deep breath and re-examined the situation, and it came out right the second time. It came out right because it wasn't because the devil stopped bothering us, because when we was messing up in the first time, we blamed it on the devil. The devil just won't allow me to keep my thought. The devil did this. The devil in this person. We blame it on everything but us. We did not touch base with the know-all which we possess. And that is the spirit that is within us. And I know for myself that whenever you stop, give God that time so that you can commune with him, he will direct your path. And not on one thing, but everything. Even some of the things that they've already told you is wrong. Because we have to understand that's wrong to them. It doesn't make it wrong to you. But we now live by this creed that if I say it's bad, then it's got to be bad. Even though it's something that brought you great joy. So if it brought you great joy, how can it be so bad? And this is what we've got to understand, that we are the creators of our own lives. As much as I love my brother, I cannot truly tell him his life. As we spoke about on the last podcast, I can't tell him his truth.
Amen. We all have our own truth. That's right.
And because we have our own truths, we have to live our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I say we all have our own truth, that doesn't mean that you and I can't agree on something. That doesn't mean that every truth got to be different. But it has to be your truth. And it's your truth because you know it to be your truth and not just because I told you.
That's right.
We've done it before. We've just got to do it on a more regular basis because it's been, especially when we were younger, parents told us things that we shouldn't do. And that wasn't our truth, was it? Because we didn't do it.
Not at that time, it wasn't.
Exactly. Right. But at that time, it wasn't our truth. Now, later on, it might have. But there are some things that they told us that wasn't our truth at the time, and it still isn't our truth to
right.
this day. But to them, it might have, because it wasn't their truth. And I don't think that there are many other people out there that love you more than your parents do. So they meant well, but they can't tell you your truth. A job of a parent is to train up a child in the best way that they can. But they've got to be able to train that child up so that that child can go out and create the best life for them, not the best life that the parent would want. Not that the parent can't want it, you know what I mean? Because we all want bigger and better things for our offspring. But that is not truly our job. Our job is to give them the tools so that the understanding so that they can use the godly tools that they possess. But this is the reason why we are kind of in the situation we're in, because we've taken the raising of the child to a whole other level, and truth be told, that was wrong. That was wrong. Because one of the things we did was we allowed people that didn't know, such as our parents, because our parents, they had children, to say what age is right, but a lot of our parents started at a very young age when technically they were children. So if they are children, how can they teach us something that they don't even know themselves? And it just keeps being passed on from generation to generation. And so we lack the knowledge because of some things that have been instilled in us. And once again, like I said, no fault of theirs, but that's all that they knew. But technically, a young woman that has a child now, that child should be raised by the grandmother, the great-grandmother. That's not to say you just go have kids and give it to them, but that's who should raise the child, because they know better than you, because you're just a child yourself, technically. Tradition, because this is what people say you have to do. We fall in line with that.
Hey, Brother Messenger, your audio is starting to break up.
Okay. I got a little better. I started moving around a little bit too much and start to get excited.
Yes. Amen, brother.
But I just want us to know that there is another way. There is a way that we can have life and have it more abundantly according to our desires, not according to what anybody else say but us. And then you'll be, when you start doing things because it's what you want to do and you're weighing the situation per se, then you appreciate it better. When you know that you're your own woman or man, when you know that you're that and you're not doing something just because technically society. And if we look at it, society has it all wrong. That's why the world is in the state that it's in. And when I say wrong, I mean as far as this unity thing. Because this is one of the things, until we understand that we are all one, part of the body, we won't be able to get it right. As long as we think survival of the fittest, only the strong survive, As long as we have that mentality, we as a nation cannot do what it is we should be doing. We all have gifts. Some know how to exercise or use those gifts better than others. It don't make them better. And this is where we got to understand it. So this is why we've got to be more concerned about how it is that we are living our lives and not how other people are living theirs. And if we can focus more just on how we are living. And if when we focus in on how we're living and we begin to allow the spirit within us to guide us, trust me, people will see and they will glorify the Father, well, the spirit which is within you. Thus the meaning of let my light shine. And it's a journey that we've got to take a stand on. And honestly, it's not a hard journey because a lot of times we do the rationalization before we do certain things, but instead of us trusting the spirit, we'll go with the mind, what the mind says, and realizing that the mind is only giving us past experiences. For the last however years you've been here, that's all the mind can regulate. But when we start to listen to the soul, which is the creator of all of this, you cannot have nothing but the right outcome. When you're obedient to the soul. Sister Sunshine, how you doing? Glad to have you here with us.
I'm good. Thank you, Brother Messenger. Just listening to you guys this evening.
So it's a beautiful thing when you get to know and understand just who you are and the power that you have. It's a beautiful thing to know that, as I said, all things are working together for the good. And throughout my day, mm-hmm. I'm constantly bringing that to people's attention. They look at me like I'm crazy, but then later on they come to understand that it is. Okay. And it's even the simplest things. Because sometimes we get caught up in it's got to be something major. Or else we don't see God at work. But we got to understand it is the Spirit of God that allows us to get up each morning. And if the Spirit of God touches you to get up next morning, you got to be doing something right. Because if we were as bad and unruly and unworthy, do you think we would have made it this far? Not that death is a bad thing, but because we're in this life right now, if we weren't doing or being what we needed to be, would there be a reason for us to be here?
Nope.
But we don't understand that because we've been told that we've gone astray to everything that God has commanded of us. And we have to understand that God desires or needs absolutely nothing from us. How can the creator of all of this create everything to work perfectly, but he forgot some things, and so it is our job to get it to him? How can you create the universe and then forget something? Now, we could do that in a minute, right?
Right.
We could do that.
Makes sense.
We could buy a brand new car and forget where we put our keys. We can do that.
Amen.
In the human form, in the human state, using once again this mind. We rely on this mind so much that we forget that the mind is just one part of the body. When you want to see some really special things going, let the mind, body, and soul tune in and become one. Then, as Brother Philippian said, there is nothing that you can do. You can do all things. But it's the mind. The mind always want to go back to a reference point, but the mind can only go back so far. Some of us a little further because we got a couple more years here. It can go back, but not much more. And there is so much more that there is that the mind has no idea of. But the soul knows it all. And I, each podcast, I put something out to us. I just ask that you try it and see, because it is working all the time. God is not mad at anybody. God is constantly talking to us. We just won't take the time out to listen. We know there has been so many facts recorded by each and every one of us where we've said, I should have listened to my first mind. When we went about a task or doing anything, I should have listened, but I didn't. And I did what other people said was the right way to do, and I went about it that way, and I didn't listen to my first mind, and it didn't work out right. That's God talking to you. It's just that simple. God doesn't need to crack open the sky to have a relationship with you. Not when he's already within you. We have these conversations with God. It's just you by yourself having a conversation with God. Then you get an answer. And it's still just you. And we can't see that there is a connection. And because we don't listen, sometimes he used different avenues to come at us so that he could let us know that I heard you. And I'm trying to give you the answer. It's just a question of will you listen? Because it's not going to force itself on you because you have free will. This is what he's given himself, free will, so that each and every one of us can experience the magnificence of being God. This is what it's all about, being the best that you can be. And in order for us to be the very best that we can be, we have to take time and listen to what it is that the soul is telling us. Because the soul wants nothing but the highest and the best for you. The mind got all other things that it wants. You know what I mean? The mind wants something for somebody else because it's got another agenda, stuff of that nature. But the soul wants what is best for you. So if we would just stop, slow down a little bit, stop letting our education go to our head, and listen to the spirit that knows more than any book can know. Because truth be told, if you think about it, these books that were written, it had to come from somewhere. When gravity was discovered, there was no classes on that. That was something that came from within. These scientists, these doctors, these pharmacists, this was something that came from within. It wasn't something that was already established, so they had to take a class. When the first math book was written, how did they come up with that?
Mm.
They had no reference.
So they just knew, and then we duplicated what they knew. But actually, I mean, actually, on a much deeper level, we all could have known.
Same with
if
the Bible.
We applied ourselves. What was that?
Like the Bible came, the math book came the same way, I think. You know, you tell him, I'll write it down. Kind of thing.
Right. Pretty much. But once again, I'm not trying to discredit math, because truth of the matter, 35, 35, and 35 still equals 1. Because it's all the same. Welcome, my brother.
Yes, how are you? Thank you.
You're good. So this is what we've got to understand, that there is, and I'll repeat myself, there is nothing that we don't know. How many of us started doing a task that technically we didn't even have a clue what we were doing? But then as we begin to focus and concentrate on it, it just came so easy to us. Especially if it's something that we really like to do.
Right.
Because we put more time and energy into understanding and doing it, and it just came like a second nature.
Because understanding that concept of thinking is so radical to the other end of the spectrum on pretty much anything we've ever been taught. We know through our environment, through schools, just to be able to think on that level. Again, first of all, you have to have that, you're going to have that natural dichotomy with hearing new information versus what you've been taught or what you understand. And sometimes it's just not that easy to let go and understand that you have everything that you could ever need in life, you already have.
Right.
You know, if you take it to its core level, we want because we want, but to live and enjoy life, we all have that. We just fail to see it, and we mirror it or picture it with different items or substances that make us think we want more, but we all have everything we need.
Mm-hmm. That's correct. And once again, because we talked about it last week as well, we've got it twisted because we think that in order for me to be, I have to have. So I can't be happy unless I got the big house. I can't be happy unless I got the pocket full of money. I can't be happy unless I've got this or I got that or I can do this or I can do that. But that is not so. You can be happy without any of that stuff.
We have to redefine what the word happiness means.
Right.
We have to redefine that word depending on who you are and what you want out of life. So happiness could mean a lot of things to a lot of people.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. One word with a million different meanings. Because what makes you happy might not make me happy, but what makes me happy is the point.
The point that I'm making, my brother, is no matter what you describe happy as, you can be happy without having any of those things.
We have also, dear brother, you know, 800 division within the Christianity. And one of them is snake worshippers, that in Mark 16:18 says, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So based on one or maybe two other three, four lines in Bible, this church say, you come and play with cobra snake live, and if it bites you, it's okay. You will not die. And you can heal the people, because according to Mark 16:18, so we can say, yeah, these people may be happy playing with the snake, etc. But we saw recently one of the main leaders died because of the snake bite.
Okay, let me ask you a question to the cast tonight. Was anybody happy today?
Yes.
It ain't over.
You're very much.
Mm-hmm.
Monday ain't over. I'm still happy.
Very much so, Brother Messenger.
Okay, so we were happy today, but unless somebody holding out on me, nobody got $1 million in the bank. But you were still happy.
Not yet. Mm-hmm.
Not yet, exactly, right. But you're still happy. So that's the point, that you can be happy no matter how you define happy. You can be happy without anything. It's just, as the brother said, it's just a choice you have to make.
Right.
Do I want to be sad or do I want to be happy?
Right.
But happiness isn't that truth come from within, not from outside.
There you go. It comes from within. That, and
that's
within.
Right.
And whatever it is within is already there. So you have it. You can be happy. And this is what we have to understand. We don't need anything to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
And we have the ability to be happy whenever we want. We've had some pretty, what we would consider tough situations, and we decided we just ain't gonna let it get us down. And we found a way to be happy.
That's right.
So the point is, we've got to know that we can be happy. We've got it twisted. We think in order for us to be happy, we've got to have something, and we've got to reverse that and realize to be when I'm happy, then I can get those other things. Why? Because I'm not allowing the daily hustle bustle or the setbacks that this world brings to us get me down or steal my joy. And because it won't steal my joy, the things that I hope for will come easily, because I'm not doubting. I'm not disbelieving that it can't be. Because even if it don't, guess what? I'm still happy. A lot of us, the reason why we haven't truly gotten what it is that we really desire is because we focus so much on it that what we've done is we've created doubt. And because there is doubt, it cannot be. How many times we wasn't thinking about money and then all of a sudden it just showed up?
That's true.
A couple of times.
A couple of times.
Maybe more. Maybe you went to the casino and just $1 got you $520.
It's all good.
It's all good. It really is. But
yes.
But that's another thing that they've stigmatized to make you think that God isn't pleased with that. But we have to understand that God is not daily judging what is right and wrong for you. That is your job to do. This is why he allows you to be here, for you to judge, for you to make the decisions, what is best for you. We have to understand that our will is God's will. But don't get that twisted that God's will is our will.
I mean, you can be a CEO of the company and just, if you go dailymail.com or dailymail.com, I mean, just put Daily Mail UK, you will see it on the first page. It's a big CEO of one of the companies. I just forgot the name. I mean, he was CEO. He must be very happy, right? But he overused of cocaine and he died. So is that it was his happiness? Maybe.
He was happy for a minute.
Yeah.
He was too happy.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. No, it was just a little humor. But I just want to go back over what I just said, that our will is God's will. And what I mean by that is the things that we want, God wants them. If you want it, God wants you to have it. But I don't want us to confuse that with God's will being our will. Because God's will is that we all come to understand that we are all one. That we are all the same. And that we are all part of the body. Part of the spirit. We are all part of that.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen. But many people don't like. Go ahead, please. But many people don't want people become one people. Always they say white. They want make it black, white, yellow, etc. Always. Why? Why is that, please?
Because they don't understand that we are all one, and they believe in that concept of survival of the fittest, that only the strong survive, and I have more, so I am more, because they're under that thinking. They're under that thinking, and so this is why they don't care about the rest. I've got all my money and I don't want anybody to get it. And as we've had so many different discussions, there are some people on this planet right now with more money than them and their entire family generations will ever spend. But they're constantly trying to get more because they haven't come to the understanding that no matter how much you got, when that time comes, can't take it with you. You can't take it with you. So, yes, you should be able to enjoy it now. You can have the finer things in life. That isn't a problem. It's not that God, the Spirit, wants us to walk around here poor and begging and stuff. That's not what the Spirit wants. The Spirit wants you to have life and have it more abundantly, and that includes money. Money is not a bad thing. But if you listen to the readings from out of the scriptures and stuff like that, they would have you to believe that it's bad, filthy lucre, the root of all evil. It is not. They even got us believing that money is not does not come from a tree, does not grow on trees. They got us believing that. And don't money come from a tree?
No.
No, wait, think about it. Does money come from a tree?
No.
Money grows on trees. Yes, it does. You cannot make a dollar bill without the hemp from the tree. You can't.
Amen.
Oh,
that's right.
Amen. You mean the paper. You mean
that's
the
right.
Useless,
yes,
paper.
Yeah,
that
right.
It's caused by Fed, and etc.
No,
oh, okay. I got you. What you say? Yeah, yeah. You're right.
All right, see? But they got us believing that money doesn't grow on trees.
A little pun.
Right.
Just a little bit. But you can't have a dollar bill without a tree.
Or $100 bills. or a Singaporean dollar, SGD. You same,
okay,
yeah.
Okay, we want it to be big bills, all right. But you can't have that without the tree. So technically,
right,
when they tell us that money doesn't grow on trees, they're wrong.
So if the trees, all the trees are in the planet dies through global warming and global catastrophe that we see every day around the globe, so then money would be, they cannot print any more money.
They can't print, then they'll go to the gold bars or silver. That'll
right.
be the, because at one time that was their method of barter with gold and silver.
Like old times. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. Yes, yes.
But I just use that as an example to show us how so many different things that they have told us and they want us to believe, but it just isn't so. And we are of age now where we know better. We know better, but we still, I'll go back right back to the little pun that I just used, we still use that money doesn't grow on trees. We still use that concept when it's wrong. Because they didn't know any better, and they were saying it, and we've come to believe it. We've come to believe that God wants us to be poor. God doesn't want us to have fine houses and stuff of that nature. And that isn't so. You think God cares whether you got a big house or a little house? It does not matter to him. It's what you want. And if you want it, God wants you to have it. But we can't accept that. We think that we are unworthy.
That's
true. But God will let somebody put on a nice suit and a fancy robe and a big hat and come tell us stuff to give us our money, and that's the first thing that they get.
That's true.
How many priests or pastors or imams, per se, that you know that
yes.
they ain't living the life of Riley with the big houses and the cars and stuff?
All of them. All of them. There is no
right.
exception.
So why are we so ignorant to the fact that God wants them to have it, but not you?
Or two nuns.
Two nuns? Not one, but two?
Yeah, the nuns with the $500,000.
Oh, yeah, yeah, right.
Oh, they saved, I don't know anything, I don't know what you're referring to.
Oh, you didn't see it?
No.
These two nuns, I think they lived in Vegas or California somewhere, or Utah somewhere.
Yeah.
One was a principal and another one worked at the school for years. They embezzled $500,000 from the school. And
wow.
we're gambling, taking trips, and you didn't see any of this at the garden? Yeah, they embezzled over the years $500,000 from the school, and they were living life. Had a condo, you know, nice car, flying,
wow.
taking trips, and gambling. Huh?
Right, that's true. Yeah.
So that's. That's an example to show. Well, that was a wrong. That's how they went about getting it. But we have to
right,
understand.
The wrong way, yeah.
Right. And believe that God wants you to have your desires. Your desires. He wants you to have those. He doesn't have a problem with it. Everybody
right.
else has a problem with it because if you get it, then that's less that you get to give them. It's just amazing how we can, God wants you to give 10%. Why would he want 10% of yours? God loves a cheerful giver. God loves if you took $2 and was able to help somebody with $2, it's just as much as if you grudgingly gave $1,000. Now, the preacher or whatever, they're going to appreciate that $1,000 more, but in God's sight, That $2 is far more valuable than that $1,000 that you gave. It's all about the heart. When you give your last $2 to help somebody, you're doing that from the heart. When you give somebody $1,000, you're giving them $1,000 because you got $6,000 or $7,000 more in the bank somewhere. Mm-hmm. So it's not really from the heart, per se. It's just out of the abundance.
That's right.
But with God, it's about the cheerfulness of it, from the heart. You're doing it because you have a true desire to help someone. And when you do that, you better believe it's coming back to you. But see, what happens is a lot of times people like to give people stuff, not from the heart, just looking for the return on it. And you can't fool God. God knew the reason you gave it before you gave it. So how do you think you're going to fool him? So this is what we have to understand about giving. Giving is from the heart. And the heart and the soul all intertwines. I'm not talking about our physical heart. I'm talking about the spirit, our soul that is within us. That is where it comes from. And I hate to go back to Sister T, gave us a prime example of when you do it from the heart, how different it is when you're just doing it to be seen.
Amen.
That's true.
Amen.
So this is how we need to look at things and stop judging things and going by things that people have told us. Especially if you stop for a moment and take a look at that person's life that's trying to guide you and see just where they are and how they got where they are, then you would have to say, well, what have I been doing? I'm walking around here, my light's turned off because I had to give the minister, well, the church, 10%. Why would God want you to give 10% and have you go without to give to someone else to do whatever they want with? Does that make sense? What kind of God do we think God is? That just doesn't make sense. But if God truly touches your heart to give, trust me, your lights won't go out. Trust me, you will not go hungry. God has told you, this is what I want you to do. Whatever that was for, trust me, a way has already been set.
Amen.
Amen.
But when you start giving and you find yourself without, it's because you're not giving because it's what God wants. You're giving because this is what man is telling you to do. Even though, go ahead.
Yeah, the man with the black dark suit.
Well, they jazzed it up a little bit now. They don't use dark suits no more. They use I call them pimps actually. Yeah, they look like pimps up there sometimes, don't they? Hey, and actually, I bet you some of them probably feel like pimps because if you really think about it, that's what they're treating us like.
Mm-hmm.
You go out and work and bring me your money. I'm going to tell you, God told you to bring it, but by any means necessary, I call them pimps. I really do. I call them pimps.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen.
But that's just me.
That's the time of the evening when we bring our podcast to a close. And I just want to say I thank everyone for tuning in and for listening. There's always a word of encouragement and strength coming from our very own messenger, Rondaya.
Amen.
Every Sunday night.
Thank you, messenger.
Every Thursday
thank
night,
you, dear,
Sunday
thank
night,
you,
10 o'clock,
dear brother.
Blog Talk Radio.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, brother. Go ahead.
Yeah, I said amen.
Amen. Okay.
From all over the world.
Hey, just remember, if you understand your power and your magnificence, if you understand that you are a godly person, you will change your own life around, and you will do things that are pleasing to you, which will please the universe. And trust and believe, we're all going to get there one day. Hey, from Blog Talk Radio, this is Hodge to Hodge Podcast saying good night, everyone.
Good night to
everyone.
All. Love you all.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good morning.